The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Something very weird is going on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, proudly broadcasting from our Liberty University studios. But I must say that something very unusual, dare I say weird, is happening. So Grace Baker, you know I've been under the weather for a little while, dealing with the flu.
Yes.
And the whole family was freaking out. They're like, oh my gosh, because, you know, I still haven't gotten the China virus, right?
Yes, that we know of.
I have traveled. No. I have traveled all over America.
Yes.
I have met thousands of people, hugged thousands of people, shaken thousands of hands, and I have not gotten the China virus. I don't know what to read into that. Maybe I have the natural immunity.
Maybe the COVID doesn't like you.
Could be a leftist disease.
Might be.
So anyway, the family was freaking out because everybody was coming down with the China virus here in the Mid-South. And so they sent me the home test kit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having to take this home test kit, and it turns out negative.
Good.
So I had the flu. But I knew something was about to happen. Even if I had the China virus, which I did not have,
mm-hmm.
all it is a really, really bad cold or a version of the flu.
Sure.
I mean, the exact same symptoms. As a matter of fact, there's a story out yesterday that the flu, and this was the actual headline, the lead story of the Associated Press, which was in every single newspaper in America. The Associated Press says, after taking a year off, flu season is as if the flu actually put in for vacation time.
That's a lot of vacation days.
So I still contend that as bad as the China virus is, it's basically the flu. And I further contend that most of the cases that are being counted as the China virus are in fact cases of the flu or pneumonia or the sniffles.
I mean, it's not like the flu just disappeared last year. It was like, hey, back again.
No, of course not. Of course, and they think think we're going to forget about all of this. Okay. We don't forget it here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We never forget. Never.
Ever. Remind me not to get on your bad side.
So anyway, I've been dealing with this thing, and it's kind of lingering. So mm-hmm. But I felt it coming on. So what did I do? Did I go and stand in line for 7 hours, like many people have been doing here in Memphis, waiting to get tested?
Oh, yeah, I've heard the line's half a mile long.
No. All you need to do is go down to your drugstore, and I go down to the Germantown Pharmacy, which is the best locally owned pharmacy in America. Went down there. I got myself some Dayquil and some NyQuil.
Knock you out.
And some Tylenol.
Woo!
Extra strength and some cranapple juice.
There you go.
And V8. You got to drink your veggies. Could have had a V8. So I've been taking all of this stuff and around the clock. And there was an incident on Christmas Eve. And I'm not really proud about this. I'm really not. So I was really feeling bad, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to chug some of the NyQuil to knock it all out, to knock it out of the system. So that was around, 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. When I woke up on Christmas night.
You saw Santa.
At 10 o'clock p.m. the following night.
Oh, my gosh.
And I realized, holy cow, I overdosed on the NyQuil.
Oh, geez Louise.
I mean, it knocked me out.
That's kind of what it's supposed to do.
It did the job. So last night, I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna follow the directions. You know, it comes with a little cap.
Yes.
And so you pour the. I was pouring the liquid into the cap, making sure it had the right. You know, because again, I don't want to have to go to rehab. You know, that's going to be bad headlines.
I'm a NyQuil.
Starnes ODs on NyQuil. Seen dancing in his pajamas in the middle of Germantown Parkway.
Gosh.
That's a headline nobody wants.
No.
Nobody wants to see that YouTube video. That'll be the conservatives of TikTok.
Oh, gosh.
So anyway, I'm pouring the liquid. There's a whole point to this, ladies and gentlemen. Just bear with me for a moment. So I pour the little thing, and this was around, I would say, 10 o'clock. And you could feel it kicking. You know how it is with the NyQuil. You can feel it kicking in.
Like, so relaxed.
I did. I felt mellow. I'm going to put on some jazz. Maybe watch a little, I don't know, NPR. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, please, no.
We don't watch public welfare radio here. And so I'm very relaxed, very chill. And then I go to bed. And I wake up and I'm refreshed. I'm bright-eyed and, dare I say, Grace Baker, bushy-tailed.
See, that's what happens when you follow the directions.
Get up, go to the Keurig, and I pop in some community coffee.
Pecan, it's going to be a good day.
Pecan praline. I got it as a Christmas gift
for
myself. Pecan praline coffee. Put some coffee on. Turn on the computer. Get ready to sit down and do some work. And I looked at the clock, and it was 2 a.m.,
That explains all those emails.
I'm like, wait, what? I thought I had slept like 8 hours.
You didn't notice it was dark outside?
No, I went to bed at 11:30, and then all of a sudden I'm up at 2 a.m.
No, that's the worst.
I couldn't get back to sleep. It's very frustrating.
That's why you've been chugging coffee.
So if you hear me nodding off, ladies and gentlemen, just throw something at your radio.
And, it's okay. I'll throw something at you.
And we're gonna take good care of you. So anyway, all that to say, it was a weird night last night.
Sounds like it.
Just really weird.
Sounds like it.
All right. All right. Thank you, Grace Baker, for letting me just vent and confess. And if I'm in therapy, you know, just put me on the prayer list. I'm gonna have to knock off that NyQuil though. That's just a little bit too strong for me. Hey, can we talk about these mandates that are coming through? I'm stunned at what's happening over at Fox News Channel. Some of the conservatives over at Fox News are changing horses in midstream. You know, there's been a lot of chaos on jetliners around America. And we were talking yesterday about the Baywatch/porn star who smacked around the 80-year-old guy on the Delta flight. Now there is another case from some woman from Nashville got arrested. Two guys on a flight from L.A. to Memphis got into it. I mean, it's just getting ugly up there in the friendly skies. And people are trying to figure out why. You know, I have a theory about that. For one thing, people have been so locked up. They've been locked up in their homes for so long, they forgot how to behave around other human beings. That's number one. Number two, people are so anxiety riddled having to wear those face burkas on the airplane. So what are they doing? They're going to the bars and they're getting drunk. And I think we have a bunch of raging alcoholics that are flying the friendly skies, and it's basically become fight night. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. But there you go. So anyway, Kayleigh McEnany is weighing in on this. A former Trump spokesperson, which is kind of shocking. I want you to hear what she has to say about all of you people that are flying and the face masks.
Show a little grace. If you have to wear a mask, wear the mask. Make the job easier for the flight attendant. And don't put a flight attendant in this situation. They're doing their best. They're working hard. We're all stressed because of COVID. Show a little grace to the flight attendants, to your fellow passengers. It'll go a long way and have calm airways. We already can't take the delays. We can't take brawls in the sky on top of that.
Brawls in the sky. Look, my recommendation is just don't fly. If you got to go somewhere, drive. I'm sick and tired of these rules and regulations, sick and tired of the TSA checkpoints where they're fondling you and, you know, causing all sorts of mayhem, doing things incredibly inappropriate. That's why we call the TSA the touching sensitive areas people, because that's all they do. They don't stop terrorism. They fondle people. It's very disgusting and very troubling. So now you've got Dr. Fauci, and this is bizarre. Dr. Fauci has been walking back this whole thing about air travel. Cut number two, please.
Let me ask you about something else from the president's interview with David. David asked about the vaccine, the lack of a vaccine requirement for air travel. There is no vaccine requirement for domestic air travel in the United States. And when the president was asked, should there be one, he said that his team has said it's not necessary at this point. Do you agree with that, that there shouldn't be a vaccine requirement for domestic air travel?
Well, it depends on what you want to use it for. I mean, vaccine requirements for people coming in from other countries is to prevent newly infected people from getting into the country. A vaccine requirement for a person getting on the plane is just another level of getting people to have a mechanism that would spur them to get vaccinated. Namely, you can't get on a plane unless you're vaccinated, which is just another one of the ways of getting requirements, whatever that might be. So, I mean, anything that could get people more vaccinated would be welcome. But with regard to the spread of virus in the country, I mean, I think if you look at wearing a mask and the filtration on planes, things are reasonably safe. We want to make sure people keep their masks on. I think the idea of taking masks off, in my mind, is really not something we should even be considering. That's what we meant by it depends on what the goal of getting people vaccinated before they get on a domestic flight.
Yeah. And, of course, the airline CEOs were suggesting that, that we may no longer need a mask. I hear you loud and clearly you disagree with that on the airplane. Oh.
And so now Fauci is sort of walking back this idea of having forcing passengers to have these vaccine mandates to get on board the flights. But now they're backtracking again on the backtrack. And President Biden said yesterday that he would be willing to implement some sort of a vaccine mandate for domestic air travel if his advisors, his science advisors, recommended that sort of mandate. So pay attention here, folks. There are a lot of moving parts. Thousands of you are literally stranded across America right now because all of these airlines have been canceling flights. We're talking, hundreds and hundreds of flights all over America that have been canceled. They're saying it's because of the China virus. I suspect it's because of manpower shortages. I think that's the big deal here. And that brings me to the story that we teased on our Facebook live stream. There is a report from FoxNews.com that the Marines are facing a political purge. According to the reporting of Fox News, hundreds of Marines are being dismissed because they refuse to get the shot. Now, we understand that thousands of Marines have actually put in for a religious exemption, which they're allowed to do. And there are people out there who have legitimate religious reasons for not wanting to get that vaccine. This is nothing new. This has always been the case. There have been lots of people, for whatever reason, based on their religion, they do not want to get the vaccine. Well, according to Fox News, not a single religious exemption has been granted in the Marine Corps. Not a one. Now, I've been hearing from people in the Navy and the Air Force, and I'm hearing similar stories. Also, the Army. So they are not, they're not granting any of these religious exemptions, and they're telling these Marines, you're either going to get the vaccine or we're going to discharge you from the military. One lieutenant colonel said that she is just enraged over all of this. It's an absolute travesty. And she says that she is distraught because many of her friends are not getting the vaccine. Another lieutenant colonel said that they are discharging service members as fast as they can and as brutally as they can, damaging every Marine as much as they can on the way out. And these Marines are telling us that the people being targeted are conservatives, they're Christians, they're Trump supporters. Remember what Barack Hussein Obama said, that he promised to fundamentally transform America. That's why they fired dozens and dozens of generals and replaced those God-fearing patriots with a bunch of woke leftists. General Mark Milley, for example. And now they're purging the Marine Corps. And this is happening in other branches of the military. They're purging the military. Why do you think they're doing that? I have a theory on that, but I want to hear your thoughts. Why do you believe the Biden administration and the Obama administration, they purged the military of conservatives and Christians? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Maybe you're one of those people who has been purged. We'd love to hear from you. 844-747-8868. We've got the story up on our website, toddstearns.com. We'll be right back, folks.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why, it's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products. Everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes. That we are looking at here, according to this Fox News report, about 10,000 Marines have not taken the vaccine, will not get the vaccine, and they say several hundred have already been discharged, and more are going to be tossed out of the military. And the Marines that are talking all anonymously. And we've had the same thing happen with us and other branches of the military. They're saying, number one, no religious exemptions are being granted. And it seems as though the Pentagon is specifically targeting Christians, conservatives, and Trump supporters across the board. And I'm curious to know why you think that is. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to North Carolina. Helen is listening to us on The Talk Station. All right, Helen, what's on your mind today?
Hi. Enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
Very informative. I think that this administration doesn't do anything without some kind of ulterior motive, and usually it's evil. I think that they are wanting to get out any conservatives, any Trump supporters, any good old boys, because these are the guys that won't follow the order to confiscate our guns. And I think that's going to be one of their next moves, is to try to confiscate our guns. Now, whether or not we'll have another horrendous school shooting to try to get everybody on the bandwagon, I don't know. But I think that's why they're doing it.
You see, Helen, this is why I love this radio program. We have the best and the brightest listeners out there. And Helen, I think you're onto something here. And it's all about the long game. Keep in mind, it was Barack Obama who said back in 2007 that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. It's a long process. And Helen, I think you're right. I think one of the things they have to do is get rid of all of the freedom-loving patriots who are currently serving not only in the armed forces, but also in police departments. They've got to get those people out of there so they can put into place people who will ignore the Constitution and people who are not afraid of going and knocking on your door at gunpoint demanding you turn over your guns.
That's right.
So I think there is something to that, Helen, and I appreciate the call. We've got to run. We're up to against a tight break here. But folks, again, socialism. It is on the horizon, the takeover of our country. And it's not a matter of if, but when that happens. And they've got to be able to get our guns. They've got to be able to control the military. And that's what this is all about. That's why they're getting rid of all of the generals, the good generals. That's why they're getting rid of the Christians and the conservatives. It's all part of a much larger project. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. ToddStarnes.com, the website. We'll be right back, America. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We are broadcasting from our Liberty University studios here in Memphis, Tennessee. We're getting bad weather, apparently, Grace. So if they say we may even see a tornado today.
I cannot get a read. The Memphis weather changes its mind more than a woman does, because this morning I look out and it's like sunny and kind of breezy and 70. And now I'm looking out there and it looks like it's going to rain, and it's supposed to hit like in a couple hours.
Well, you know, and as bad as it is here, and we're just dealing with heat and, you know, severe thunderstorms, maybe a tornado or two.
No biggie.
But we were looking at the photographs a couple of hours ago about from Lake Tahoe.
Where they contrast.
Over 200 inches of snow.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable.
Wintry wonderland.
Unbelievable. So all that to say, there's a lot of extreme weather going on out there. So be safe wherever you are today, and listen to your radio because they're going to keep you safe and protect your family. All right. Look, what's going on with Michelle Obama? So we've had a couple of big stories. So a few days ago, Joe Rogan was talking about Michelle Obama as a possible presidential candidate.
Michelle Obama and Harris. Harris comes back as the vice president. Michelle Obama's the president. We get a double dose of diversity.
They'll win.
Let's go, they'll, champ.
They'll win. And then who's on the Republican side? DeSantis?
Trump and DeSantis. Together. They have to make a super team. It's the only way they win.
Interesting.
That's the only way they win. Super team.
Trump comes out as the president.
Yeah, if Michelle Obama, I really believe, if Michelle Obama runs,
she wins. Yeah.
I think she wins.
She's good.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's intelligent.
Yeah.
She's articulate. She's
right.
The wife of the best president that we have had in our lifetime in terms of like a representative of intelligent, articulate people. She could win.
So there's Joe Rogan. And by the way, every time you hear somebody say Joe Rogan is a conservative, I just want you to remember that he thinks Barack Obama is the best president in modern American history. Just remember that. So now Matt Schlapp is weighing in on this. He was asked about this on Fox News, what he thought about Michelle Obama possibly being the Democrat contender in 2024.
So now you have the identity politics of picking Kamala Harris. Why? Well, she's a woman. She's a woman of color. She comes from California. She's very left-wing. Now they have this problem of, oh my God, they've gotten to see Kamala Harris, and she's terrible. I mean, where is she on planet Mars during all of this? I mean, they don't put her out at all because she's not able to connect to the American people. So if they're going to replace Kamala Harris, they got to look to the identity politics. And I have to say, Michelle Obama fits that type of thinking. Another woman of color who's obviously got good poll numbers. It's a very interesting idea.
All right. So there you have Matt Schlapp from CPAC saying that, you know what, if you're a Democrat, hey, that may not be a bad idea. So what's going on here? Why all of a sudden are people talking about Michelle Obama, who, by the way, has said she wants to have nothing to do with politics at all? She's never run for office, elected office at all. So why are people talking about Michelle Obama? Well, it's very simple. They're starting to float names. The Democrats want to see how people are going to respond, how they're going to react. And I'm telling you, the base of the party loves Michelle Obama. She resonates with them. As a matter of fact, when you look at her husband, I mean, Michelle Obama is more involved and more embraced with that community than her husband is. You know, the husband, you know, again, Barack Obama spent most of his life either in what, Hawaii or Kenya. And then, you know, he was a member of the Shum gang, and a lot of people in the black community, especially the church-going community, could not relate to that. But they could relate to Michelle Obama. They could relate to someone from Chicago's South Side. They could relate to somebody who grew up an African-American, who grew up in a blue-collar, working-class home, like many of the base of the Democrat Party. So they connect, I think they connect more with her than they do her husband. I'm just saying. And so now people are beginning to portray this woman as a saint. Look, the question would be, would she be able to beat Donald Trump? I don't think she could, unless the Republicans go into the presidential election in 2024 divided. Now, President Trump's made an interesting gamble. He's endorsing a lot of MAGA candidates that are running for Congress in the midterm elections. If the president is able to pull off massive upset victories and take out people like Liz Cheney, then, for example, he may very well be able to unite the party around him. That there's a question mark there right now, though. So if you were to ask me, well, okay, if there's a divided party, if you're going to have the Never Trumpers and the establishment, and then you're going to have the anti-vax crowd who's very upset with the president right now, if those people are going to sit out the election, then whoever the Democrats do put up there is going to win. That person will win. I don't think Michelle Obama, if she runs, which she's never run for office, folks. Her only claim to fame is being Mrs. Barack Obama. Just like Hillary Clinton. Her only claim to fame was being Mrs. Bill Clinton. So we're just going to speculate here. If I were a betting man, I would say that the Democrats are probably going to run a Hillary Clinton Pete Buttigieg ticket. Or it could very well be that they run a Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama ticket. Michelle Obama will not be at the top of the ticket, though. She's not qualified. She's not qualified. It's not going to be Kamala Harris. People hate her. Here's how bad it is for the Democrats right now. We talked about this poll yesterday. Joe Biden is polling lower than his vice president, and her numbers are in the toilet. It's horrible. So the Democrats know they've got to do something, and that's why they're starting to float these ideas out there. And let's get real. As much as, you know, the Democrats love to play the identity politics cards, they got a lot of cards to play. And which cards, I mean, do you put the black person there? Do you put the gay person there? Or do you pick a transgender black person who identifies as an Asian? I don't know. I mean, it's you could go so many different ways with this. I'm just saying it's a dilemma for the Democrats, and I think it's going to be very entertaining. The other question is, what happens if Trump decides not to run? Who's on the Republican side? And I think the Democrats would definitely run Hillary Clinton. Folks, write it down. All right, we got to take a break here. Sad news in the world of sports. One of the best football coaches, one of the best broadcasters in all of the NFL, John Madden, passed away suddenly last night and has just shocked a lot of people. One of the finest broadcasters, if not the best in all of the NFL, John Madden passed away. We're going to talk to our good friend Tim Van Horn. He knows a thing or two about the sports world and broadcasting. He's the morning show host at KWAM. He is our chief fill-in for the Todd Stearns radio program. And, look, we'd like to hear your memories of John Madden growing up. I mean, he really was the NFL. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, we talk about our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line all the time. We are so honored to be partners with Patriot Mobile. And the reason why, they are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. New year coming up. Maybe it's time for you to consider changing your wireless carrier. I've got to tell you, I am so happy with making the switch to Patriot Mobile. They have plans to fit any budget, along with great discounts for veterans and first responders, and they've got incredible nationwide coverage. So if you'd like information on how to do this, they make it so simple, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can call their U.S.-based customer service team. You're going to speak to somebody who speaks English. 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And if you use my promo code, Todd, you are going to get free premier activation and a free gift. Again, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Listen, there's no big secret to winning football. It's just doing what these guys do every game. Just go out and give it your best. Bottom line, I took a team to a Super Bowl and we won. I even had some guys on that team that nobody wanted. But we were a team. And that's what you guys are. You're a football team. That's kind of like a family. Except you get to hit each other. But you have to stick together. Do that, you'll be fine.
Thanks, Mr. Madden.
Oh my gosh, what a legend, John Madden. And you know, as I was listening to that, to that beautiful speech, I kept thinking, yeah, this is us in the radio business, minus the hitting of people. But Tim Van Horn from the morning show at KWAM.
Wait a second. Are you saying you've got people that nobody else wanted? Is that what you're saying?
We're kind of like the Bad News Bears of radio. You know, we just kind of assemble everybody together.
The land of misfit toys. It's great to be here. I feel like a part of my childhood died with John Madden passing away.
You know, I felt the same way. And it took me back to the, I mean, you and I are about the same age. So we grew up in the 70s. And of course, what's interesting about John Madden, he's a different person for multiple generations. Yeah. You know, for us growing up in the 70s, he was the coach of the Oakland Raiders and won that Super Bowl. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Tim Van Horn, but to this day, he holds the NFL record for wins for like 100 games.
Yes.
He still holds that record today.
Yes, and he's second all-time in winning percentage at like 76%. I mean, some crazy number, and the only person better is some guy, Guy Chamberlain from the 20s, and I think that was even before the forward pass was invented. So you put in perspective what he meant to football. He never had a losing season in college or in the professional ranks. So for you and me, he was one of the best coaches of all time.
No, he really was, and just grew up in a working class home, born in Minnesota, and the dad moved the family out from Minnesota to California, which is where he played ball, and then became the youngest coach, I believe, at the time in the NFL to a team that nobody really wanted. It was one of those misfit toy situations.
Yeah. He came from San Diego State as an assistant, and he came over, and he took guys, as he said, guys that you would have thought nobody else would have picked up, like Ken Stabler, the Alabama quarterback.
Alabama.
He loved himself to go, water skiing, loved to drink the spicy juice, as they say, but he made it all work. And that was just, amazingly enough, that was just one chapter of his life. Little did we know he would go on and become a cultural icon and a sports innovator and pick up so many Emmys on top of a Super Bowl ring.
You know what? We're going to throw out a trivia question. We want to know, speaking of that, we want to know the name of the device that John Madden used. There was something he used during the games that he would have a lot of fun with, whether it was illustrating that, who was it? One of the football quarterbacks couldn't grow facial hair. And he was illustrating this with the guy's jawline It was great. So if you know the answer, what was that device called that he would sketch things with? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868.
Todd, I remember he used this same device to help show how to dissect a turducken.
A turducken, yes. And that became a regular tradition. Every Thanksgiving, they would honor the MVPs with one of the legs. I mean, what the turducken had, what, eight legs or something? Six. It was like a nuclear turkey. Six.
I think six.
Six legs.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no pig. That would have been four legs. Yeah. Yeah, six.
Do you remember the moment in the broadcast booth? And you do a lot of broadcasting. I mean, you call soccer matches here in the Memphis area with the teams and, of course, the brand-new Memphis Americans.
Yes.
I'm just curious what would happen if one of your colleagues would bring in a turducken and then literally slice it and tear it apart with his hands.
I think jaws would be agape. I think jaws would hit the floor. I mean, that's what John Madden meant. You knew when he brought something, anything could happen with John. And I think that's why he became such a cultural icon, because he was such a great coach and he knew the game and he was able to break it down, whether you were new to the game or you were old school hardcore fan. He never talked over your head. He never made it too simple and made it silly, but he brought whimsy to the broadcast, and that's where he innovated in the sport of football.
And the way he would call those shots, those hits, boom, doink. The doinks always got me as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, the Madden Awards every Thanksgiving. I mean, he was such an icon that the player of the game on Thanksgiving would get a turkey trophy, because they were the Madden player of the game.
So again, for our generation, he was one of the best coaches of all time. Another generation got to know him as the video game.
Right. And because he was so popular with Pat Summerall, and let's not leave him out of the equation, because without Pat being the foil, the straight guy, Madden doesn't get to be Madden, because it takes the right kind of person to be able to have fun with John Madden. But without those two and without John Madden being who he is, I don't think we have the success that we see in EA Sports franchise football games. I think there's a lot of people. It grew the game worldwide, because you got people in England and Asia playing this football game called Madden. They don't know who the guy is, but the more you look at him, you see, man, this guy was a genius, and he was more than just a funny guy.
And then, of course, the later generations, he was, the best broadcaster,
yes,
best analyst in, I think, NFL history.
Yeah, absolutely, because no game was too big for John Madden. You always put John on the best game, the most interesting game of every Sunday. You find that on the schedule, and then you take John Madden. Now, you had to bus him there because he wouldn't fly.
Now, and that is a fascinating story, that he would not fly. He had a fear of flying.
Yeah, absolutely. He really had no other phobias, but you had to. That was in his contract rider, whether the game was on the East Coast. If the next game was on the West Coast, you better give him time to get there on the ground, because he is not going to take a flight of any kind.
He never called the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. That never happened. All of those games in Europe, he didn't go there. You're right. He stayed in the United States. And what was really fascinating, I was reading a report last night that Greyhound actually gave him buses. They reconfigured the buses, and they gave him a fleet of buses that he used. And the drivers would compete for the honor of driving John Madden to the games.
I could see why they would want to do that, because from every story that I've heard from other broadcasters, I've heard Pat Summerall talk about him. I've heard Bob Costas. I've heard Al Michaels. He is every bit of a nice guy that you would think that he is. And it's always nice to hear when your heroes stack up to what you imagine them to be.
We've got about 30 seconds here. Aside from the man worked the polyester pants back in the 70s. But here is a guy, and I'm just curious why you think he really resonated with football fans.
He was so smart on the football field, but then he could turn right around and do a beer commercial. He was just relatable. He took the game seriously, but he didn't take himself seriously.
I think there's something to that. One of my favorite one of the favorite lines, talking about a player who just gave it his all, Madden said he put all the mustard on the brat.
Yeah, he did.
And I think that's what John Madden did.
Yeah, he did. So, Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, Tim Van Horn. We're going to get you back in to talk about other stuff.
Sounds great. Thank you.
All right, Tim Van Horn, ladies and gentlemen. We lost a good one. John Madden, great American patriot. And most importantly, he was a devoted husband to his wife and a father to his two boys. John Madden, is gone. God bless you. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting live the final week, the broadcast week of 2021. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. And those of you listening to us in Tahoe right now, you need a shovel and maybe a blowtorch. What, more than 200 inches of snow on the ground. And we've got a lot of photographs and video from Lake Tahoe up on the website. The photos are just unbelievable. We're looking at, they're saying now, what, more than 17 feet of snow has fallen there in Tahoe. So, my God. Goodness gracious. Well, look, we've got a lot going on this hour. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. And our website, again, toddstarnes.com, a great opportunity for you to get over there and download the podcast. Our interview we did yesterday with Jared Schmeck, the Let's Go Brandon dad, it caused a lot of national news yesterday, and I would encourage you to go and download the podcast so you can listen to that really terrific interview from yesterday's program. But right now, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and always an honor to have Newsmax contributor Hogan Gidley with us. Hogan, hope you had a good Christmas and getting ready for a great new year.
Well, I did. Thank you so much for having me on, and I always appreciate the time, and of course, I wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year coming up.
Well, Hogan, a lot going on in the news. President Biden has announced that the China virus is no longer going to be at a federal issue. They're going to have to handle it at the state level. And then the guy just walks away on a beach. It was one of the most bizarre things I have ever seen in politics.
Yeah, I mean, look, if the federal government can't do anything about this, then why is the federal government trying to do mandates of any kind? You can't fix it. Don't touch it. But this is so typical of Joe Biden and so typical of Democrats. I will say, though, this is the first time I've ever heard a Democrat admit that the federal government can't solve all your problems. So I think there's chalk one up for conservatism by that single comment. But the fact remains, this is a pattern. If Donald Trump is in office, every single death, according to Joe Biden, is Donald Trump's fault. It's not China, not an airborne illness. It's Donald Trump's fault. When he gets to be president and there are more deaths under Joe Biden than there were under Donald Trump, well, that's the governor's fault. See, that's the state's problem. Well, we can shut down the virus, says Joe Biden. The federal government can do it. Not working. Mask mandates aren't working. Vaccine passports aren't helping, still spreading across California and New York. Well, it looks like it's the state level. We really can't fix that. That's got to be the state. It doesn't matter what issue it is, whether it's inflation or the southern border, gas prices. Joe Biden continues to talk about these things as though they're just happening to him, that his policies aren't making these problems. In fact, one of the only places he should have said, hey, this is a global pandemic, it's an airborne virus, is coronavirus. Instead, he tried to take credit for the ability to shut it down. He can't do that. It's obvious, and no one could do that. So all the areas that he can actually effectuate change, he says, that's not my – it's happening to me. I can't do anything about it. The one place where he can't, coronavirus, he says, no, we got this. But now it's starting to show – he can't do anything about this, and the American people know it.
No, they do, and we've got a compilation here just so people understand what we're talking about. Cut number 7, please.
I'm not going to shut down the economy. I'm not going to shut down the country, but I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
I'm going to shut down the virus. I'll shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
What I would say is I'm going to shut down the virus.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
Look, there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
I can't make it up.
No, Hogan, you really can't. And it's sad and it's pathetic. Now Biden is suggesting that he would be open to forcing airline passengers to show vaccine papers if that's what his medical advisors tell him to do. That will decimate the airline industry, flat out decimate it.
Of course, and you've already seen some fallout from Joe Biden in the airline industry, whether it be higher ticket prices because of gasoline, fuel, but also making people go test and prove their vaccine status. You begin to pop positive, especially with Omicron, and then all of a sudden, by their decree, you have to sit out for 10 days. Now they're trying to scale it back to 5 because they see the fallout economically from that. But once you do that, even if you're asymptomatic, then by law or by rule, by edict, you have to take yourself out of society for a while. That's crushing all types of industries, including the airline industry. But, I've said this on your show before, and I have two quick predictions. One is I think what Joe Biden said up there with his shut down the virus rhetoric is that in 2022, he's going to point to the fact that he could have shut down the virus. It would have been stopped. But for those small amount of individuals out there, those small-minded people who just didn't do everything he said they should do, they're the problem. Every variant, their fault, because they didn't do what he wanted them to do. That's going to be one of my predictions for 2022. Second is, I bet Jen Psaki walks this back. The next time she has a press conference and gets asked about it, I bet she contradicts her boss yet again and has to say something like, well, no, what he meant was there were certain things the federal government can't do, but we're still going to take down the virus. That's exactly what he meant. We're going to stop this virus. I bet that happens, too, because he's just too far gone on the matter. Video lives on forever. The people know what he promised them. And, we during the campaign, the last point I'll make is he would often say, I have a plan. Well, at the campaign for Donald Trump, we would say, all right, well, then media, why aren't you asking him what the plan is, number one? And number two, if he has a plan to stop it and he's not going to share it unless he gets elected president, well, that's just downright evil. That's just cruel and evil. And then when he becomes president, he still doesn't talk about a plan he has because he doesn't have one. And the people of this country see it, they know it, they're feeling it. And now they're really distrusting not just Joe Biden's policy, but Joe Biden as a person.
Exactly. I mean, that's a fair point. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Newsmax contributor Hogan Gidley. Hogan, on that point, Newsmax.com has a story up about Marines who are refusing to get the vaccine. They say they are witnessing a political purge by the Biden administration, forcing out, you have to read between the lines here, but forcing out Christians and conservatives and people who have deep concerns about, the religious exemptions here. Are you surprised that the Biden administration is doing this? I mean, Obama did something very similar back during his years.
I'm not surprised at all, especially as it relates to people of faith. It's pretty clear the left has an inherent disdain for those who believe in a power higher than the government. And as Christians, they most certainly do believe that your rights come from God and not from government. And so it usurps the power of the federal government. And we know that Joe Biden and his administration is all about power. So it would make sense that they're trying to purge people who won't bow down to their edicts. But again, I ask, if Joe Biden admits the federal government can't fix this, then why are we still pushing for these mandates, or why are we still pushing that the military do what Joe Biden says if he's admitting he can't fix it? It ought to be up to the individual, or ought to be up to the individual branch of government, or excuse me, of the military at the very least. So the whole thing is caving in on itself, and it's discombobulated. Fauci's leading the way with his ridiculous rhetoric and his flip-flops and his contradictions in the same interview. And I just have to say, first, we were concerned that the policies of Joe Biden were impacting the American people, and they began to feel it. The only place Joe Biden had positive polling was with coronavirus. Now he's upside down on that too.
Sure is,
and it's because of the mistakes he's made.
Hogan, real quick here. Candace Owens made some headlines over the past couple of days, did the interview with President Trump. There was some back and forth. She, of course, is anti-vaccine, and the president is very supportive of the vaccine, encouraging people to get the vaccine. But she did an Instagram video after that where she suggested in very, very clear terms, and we're not going to play the audio, but we played it multiple times, but she says the problem here is that the president is not very well read. He's an old guy, doesn't know how to use the internet, so he relies on the mainstream media for his information on the China virus. That's not the Donald Trump that I know, and I mean, you worked for the man. What say you?
I'll tell you, he's the most well-read individual I know. A lot of the boxes that would be on the floor in Air Force One when we would make international trips were just papers, articles from the internet. From you know, mainstream publications, from television stations, you know, their .com version. And I mean, he'd sit up, I remember 17 hours, I think it took us to get to Vietnam. He came and woke me. Everyone was asleep in the main conference room on the floor and on the couches. And he came back and just said, "Are you up?" He said, "Come here." And I went to the front of the plane with him, and he just sat there and read articles. Talked to me about, did you read this? Did you see this? Hey, ask him about this, and would circle things and have me go kind of track down information. The guy knows everything that is going on out there. I saw some of that dust up with Candace. I've been on her show, and I don't know what it stems from. And you know, I think it's just one of those things a lot of people like to talk about because it puts a couple people in not at odds, but with differing opinions on a particular topic. And that's fine. They can do that. But the fact is, Project Warp Speed was something incredible. These vaccines are a modern miracle. But you know, you give Joe Biden and his administration the keys to a Ferrari. Just keep it on the road, and they couldn't even manage to do that.
They could not. All right. Well, Hogan, we're going to leave it there. Hope you and the Gidley family have a happy New Year, sir.
Will do. Thank you so much for having me, and you guys have a great one in Memphis. We're not getting that snow. It's getting a little warmer down south, not colder.
True. Well, yeah, I just checked. We got a tornado watch for a big chunk of our area, all the way down to your neck of the woods, down to the Oxford area. So,
Well, they don't. Look, those people don't need any more of that bad weather with what happened in Kentucky and other places. It's one of those deals where you just have to sit there and pray and hope that they're spared any more tough times. Yep. Heading into 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Hogan, take care. Hogan Gidley, folks, from Newsmax, and we just love our great partnership with those folks over there at Newsmax TV and Newsmax.com. So Marjorie Taylor Greene is making a few headlines. this is great. We're going to go right to the phones after we come back from the break, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So there's been some conversation and some concern among you folks in places like Tennessee and Georgia and North Carolina. That's where most of the people from California and New York and Chicago, Illinois, that's where most of the people are leaving those states and moving to your states. Oklahoma, too, but not as much. And the problem is that a lot of these people, not only are they transplants, but they're bringing their politics with them. Texas is a great example. And the concern is that all of these folks leaving the hellhole known as California are going to turn states like Tennessee and Georgia and North Carolina into hellholes. And that's already started to happen in North Carolina. And you folks there know all about that. So Marjorie Taylor. So anyway, somebody, a guy by the name of Pedro Gonzalez. I don't know who Pedro is. He's with the Chronicle magazine. I'm not sure what that is. Anyway, he pointed out that he supports actively discriminating against transplants. They should not be able to vote for a period. They should have to pay a tax for their sins. So basically, if you're coming from California, you should pay for. I actually think this is kind of a funny solution to a big problem, because these folks are so stupid, they don't understand it's the people they elected that caused these problems in the first place. So Marjorie Taylor Greene said all of this is possible in a national divorce scenario. And so now the term national divorce is trending on Twitter. Marjorie says, after Democrat voters and big donors ruin a state like California, you would think it wise to stop them from doing it to another great state like Florida. Brainwashed people that move from California and New York really need a cooling off period. So now people are saying, oh, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene's talking about civil war. I don't think that's what she's talking about. But something does need to be done as we consider, okay, fine, you're moving from California, but you got to keep those toxic political beliefs back in California. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So what do you think about that idea, folks? So if you're from California and you're going to move to Tennessee, you need a cooling off period. You've got to be, it's kind of like going through a political detox, or maybe deprogramming is a better word for it. So before you can vote, you know, you've got to you've got to go through deprogramming. I can see it now. We have just triggered every one of those little sweaty, pimply-faced guys that live in their mother's basement, the employees over at Media Matters, who have the Cheeto-stained fingertips. We have just triggered them.
Starnes wants to incarcerate people in Tennessee, force them to go through some sort of a re-education camp.
Darn tootin'. We gotta get all those evil communist tendencies out of those people. Gotta do it. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to Georgia. David listened to us on WDUN. All right, David, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I don't want to make this a political call, but I'm calling about spending. But before I do that, let me say just a word about the vaccine and the virus. The major reason I think that people don't want to take the virus or the shot is that the Democrats made such a big deal out of it when Trump was running for office. They accused him of rushing the virus so he could get elected, and now people are afraid of it. So they brought it on themselves about people not wanting to take the thing.
David, I want you to hold on here, and if we can, let's hold David over through the break, because I want you to be able to finish your other thought, and we only have about 15 seconds here. David is onto something here, folks. Keep in mind that for an entire year, every Democrat and every member of the mainstream media, CNN, MSDNC, every single one of them, every single night got on national television and said, don't you take that vaccine. I'm not going to take anything that was created by Donald Trump. Anything Donald Trump supports, I'm not gonna take. David is on to something here. All right, look, gotta take a break. 844-747-8868. We're going right to your calls, folks, after this break. ToddStearns.com is our website. We'll be right back, America. All right, welcome back. Pardon me, I swallowed wrong. Jeez, Lou. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Someone just sent us a text message. They say, Todd, you're the only conservative national radio host who is actually live on the radio today. Well, thank you. We take pride in that. And, you know, we'd rather hang out with you than just sitting at home, you know, binge watching something on Netflix. So we're so glad that you are here. By the way, there was a study done. I was talking to Grace in the break about this. There is a there was a study done that shows for every hour of a podcast listening in America, Americans listen to 6 hours of talk radio. And so there are a lot of people out there that say, oh, talk radio is dead. The audience is not there. That's just not true. So I would love for you to encourage, invite your friends to check out our show. You know, we're a little different. We're a little quirky, a little odd, but I like quirky. I like odd, and I love our audience. So, again, we would love for you to, to share all of that, with your friends and colleagues. Real quick before we get back to David in Georgia, we got a story up on our website. So it turns out the highest earning woman on Jeopardy is now a dude. A transgender. This guy who says he's a woman, he goes by the name Amy Schneider. He is now the woman with the highest overall winnings on Jeopardy. The problem is that Mr. Schneider is a biological male, but people are missing that point in all the coverage. I mean, this guy is being celebrated, hailed as some sort of a conquering hero. Well, yes, he whipped the daylights out of the biological women. And so here we are once again, where this is clearly a just an evil thing that is happening, where biological women are literally being shoved aside. And the thesis of transgenderism is very simple. Men make better women than biological women do. That is the thesis of transgenderism. And we were seeing this played out, and we talked about this yesterday with the University of Pennsylvania swimming team. And now here we are on Jeopardy. There is a new survey out from Rasmussen. Well over 75% of Americans believe God only made male and female. Facebook did everything else. God's only responsible for guys and gals. Or if you go into the bathroom at Captain D's, buoys and gulls. But that it's a great little seafood place. What can I say? So my question, do you buy into this transgender argument? Do you believe that men can identify as girls and vice versa? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. I want to get back to David in Georgia. David was talking about the vaccine mandates, but David, you had called to talk about the national debt, and I wanted to give you a few minutes to be able to explain what you mean.
Okay. Thank you very much. You know, I'm just a citizen. I'm not in politics. I don't have a voice in America. I feel like all I can do is call into your station and vent, I guess. But we are killing this country by spending. And like I said, I don't want to make it political because both sides have done their share of spending. When Obama took office, the debt was $10 trillion. When he left, it was $20 trillion. But when Trump took over, it was 20. And when he left, it was almost 28. So both sides are spending twice as much as we take in. And how long do they think that this country can survive with that kind of spending? And Biden now is worse than ever. I mean, I heard that if he gets 2 terms in office, the debt will be close to $40 trillion when he leaves. We can't survive, and I honestly think within 30 years from now, this is my opinion, they're going to be writing books, The Rise and Fall of America, and they're going to say they couldn't stop spending.
David, I think there's a lot to that argument, and we've been sounding the alarms for years on this program, and my concern has been that Republicans are spending more money than the Democrats are. Well, not this go around, but that is a big problem. And you're right. It requires grown adults to make very hard decisions. But the reason why our lawmakers and elected leaders are not making these hard decisions is because they're bought and paid for by the lobbyist on K Street, David. They are beholden. That's why we haven't seen any crackdowns on the situation with social media, big tech, because big tech is giving a lot of Republicans millions and millions of dollars to ignore that issue. And that's the problem. And we've got to do something about the lobbyists up on Capitol Hill. They're the ones killing the country.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage everyone right now to Google National Debt Live Clock. Your screen will light up with the national debt in categories, and you will be amazed at those numbers increasing as you watch. Just do that, and you'll understand what I mean about the national debt going up. But that's going to kill our country someday. I don't think any military power could take us over. We're the strongest nation in the world, but we're going to kill ourselves.
David, you're absolutely right, and I do take exception to one thing you said about not having a platform. You've got a great big platform. You've got millions of people listening to you right now on this radio program, and I suspect a lot of them agree with every single thing you just said.
I hope so.
All right. Good job there, David. Thank you again. Give us a call back one of these days. That's David from Georgia listening to us on WDUN, 844-747-8868. Let's go to Brian in Mississippi listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Hi, Brian. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ms. Starnes. Thanks for taking my call. Had a comment and a question. So my comment is, everybody keeps on talking about a virus protocol, but, nobody seems to define it. So how about this definition? Shut down the NIH and try Fauci for treason against crimes, humanity, whatever lawyer terms you want to make up. My question is if the Republicans do take back the House, Senate, whatever happens, how do we hold those some people call them rhinos. I call them swamp rats. How do we hold those people accountable? How do we root people like Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell? Those guys have got to go.
Yeah, that's a terrific question, Brian. And, you guys have some Republican rhinos there in Mississippi as well. The key is local involvement and engagement. And it's going to be important for conservatives to primary those rhinos, and you're going to have to pick good candidates. One of the big challenges that the MAGA world has, the conservative world has, is a lot of the candidates that we're putting up there are just not qualified. And that's going to take a lot of work, a lot of research, and we're going to have to be smart. We've got to be able to choose candidates that are going to be competitive in these primaries. But that's how you do it. I mean, it's very simple, and it's a lot of work. But if we're going to save the Republican Party from the establishment and the rhinos, we're going to have to put in that hard work. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir, it does. You're right. Here in Mississippi, Roger Wicker voted to certify the election for Joe Biden. He cannot hide from that. That needs to be talked about more. I mean, he's hiding and dodging that issue, but his time's coming up. I mean, people need to realize, how can you vote to certify that election with all the fraud that was going on? I mean, just look at what happened in Atlanta. I mean, that tells you all you need to know, with magical boxes coming out of tables and all that kind of stuff. I mean, and if you recall, there was a bounty, basically, the Democratic Party put up for Republicans to swing their vote on the certification election. I don't know if he took part in that or whatever, but, there's no way he should have been certifying the election for Biden. I mean, that is completely not what people in North Mississippi in his district wanted him to vote for. So,
well, and again, Brian, you're right to identify that as an issue. I mean, North Mississippi is probably redder than any other place in America. I mean, that is truly Trump territory. I remember President Trump came to South Haven, Mississippi, did a big rally there. You guys in Mississippi could really help lead the way in this region. Here in Tennessee, we've got our own, our own issues. But for me, the bigger problem is the diversity of our party. And unfortunately, for far too many years, Republicans have just waved the white flag and said, we're not going to be able to reach the Hispanic community. We're not going to be able to reach the Black community. And I just think that's a load of hooey. There are plenty of Black conservatives. There are plenty of Hispanic conservatives that would embrace the message. But we've got to go into those communities. We've got to go into those neighborhoods. And we've got to make those connections. We've got to build that community. And if we don't, here in Tennessee, for example, we're going to continue to lose elections that are actually, in fact, winnable.
Yes, sir. I totally agree with you. You know, I don't know. Does it need to be like an oath, a pledge? I mean, does somebody like, you know, Ted Cruz need to start it? You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene start it and, you know, hold people accountable? I mean, look at their voting records. I mean, that's what you got to do with these guys. I mean, they'll sit there. It's almost like soap operas. They tell you what you want to hear, but then they turn around and vote a different way. And I mean, you know, it's been going on for years. You know, I mean, look, when the Republicans took the House back, you know, in the Obama years, stuff like that, they did absolutely squat. You know, they didn't do anything with it.
Brian, I'm a simple man. I don't need an oath. I don't need a pledge. When somebody makes me a promise out on the campaign trail, looks at me in the eyes and tells me they're going to do something, I expect for them to do that. And what we've got to start doing is holding these people accountable when they lie to us. And that's what they're doing. When they go back on their word, they're lying. And the Republican Party needs to hear from you. They need to understand that when a candidate betrays you and your vote, you will not be donating any more money to the Republican Party, period. And it's going to be a hard lesson for the Republicans to learn, but they're going to have to learn that we're sick and tired of Democrats campaigning and delivering on their promises while at the same time the Republicans campaign and they don't deliver when they win. That's a big problem in my estimation. Brian, got to run. Great call and great thoughts. We've got open lines here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
I'm a Fauci groupie. I'm a thrice vaccinated mask adherent. I buy KN95 masks by the, you know, caseload. They're in every pocket. I wear them everywhere except when I sit down. And I am certain that this is not a variant I can outrun. And I wonder where you think the sort of conversation is heading at this moment, Jason.
Okay, I'm a little creeped out by that. And maybe it's just me, Grace Baker. I don't know. But it's just weird to have a grown woman.
It's a little cultish.
It is. I mean, again.
This isn't One Direction lady.
Clearly, she is a.
It's not like Fauci's attractive or anything.
Is that the. Well, she may be into older dudes.
True.
You know, short dudes.
Yes.
One Direction. Was that the one with the guy with that wears the dresses now?
Yeah, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles.
Yeah.
Is he a little, does he bat for the other team, as they say?
I have no idea. I don't keep up with them that much.
He just wears a dress.
Yeah.
Not a good look for him.
No, it's not.
I'm just going to say.
No, it's not.
Anyway, Nicole Wallace over at MSDNC announcing she is a disciple of the patron saint of Wuhan. And she was really kind of, I don't know if she was fantasizing about Dr. Fauci, but it was as if she was getting very, very excited. Very excited. Way too excited. Kind of like Anderson Cooper and that dude when they do the New Year's Eve thing together. And it's like, guys, get a room. I mean, you wanted to tell Nicole Wallace, hey, get a room. Jeez, hello. What's wrong with you? Nobody wants to see that on national television. Oh, Dr. Fauci. Oh, mask me. Mask me again. Oh, Dr. Fauci. Ooh, I need a cigarette. No, that's Nicole Wallace. You all right there, Grace?
No comment.
I'm telling you, there's some sickos in the mainstream media. Sickos. All right, let's go to the phones here. Catherine in North Carolina on the line. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Todd. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Well, I just want to say all this WuFlu, as we call it down here, why are they suppressing, if they really want to get rid of it, why are they suppressing the therapeutics? The Biden administration has cut back on therapeutics. The Regeneron, I think, what is it, the micro antibodies, and they don't want people to use hydroxychloroquine, which after Trump was out of office, they came back and said, oh, yes, it works. It works. Just like your, if you don't take too much of it, the Theraflu that you took.
Oh, yeah, the NyQuil. Yeah, that's yeah. That was not my proudest moment, Catherine. I'm just going to be honest with you. Not my proudest moment.
But it got rid of your flu-ish.
Yes, it did. And I had some really weird dreams. But otherwise, yeah, pretty good, actually. You know, Catherine, I'm going to answer your question. They don't. The reason why they're suppressing the therapeutics is they don't want people to get better. They know that by and large, they can control the population. They can control the direction of the country with this pandemic, this everlasting pandemic. And they want this thing to go on forever. Keep in mind, Catherine, they only needed 2 weeks to flatten the curve. 2 weeks. And well, here we are 2 years later.
I have to say that North Carolina, our area especially, was some of the first people who went up to the Capitol to protest the extended lockdowns after it got beyond 6 weeks. So people around here are a little bit more level-headed. And it looks like the rest of the country. Thank God.
Well, I certainly hope so. Catherine, we're going to have to leave it there. God bless you and hope you have a happy new year. Thank you for listening. And we look forward to broadcasting another year. This will be year 5 of the program coming up in 2022, Grace Baker. So this is our big anniversary year.
Getting old.
We're going to have a party.
Sounds good.
We're not getting that old. We're aging gracefully, though.
Yes.
I will say that, aging gracefully. Where is that? I was going to share that information. This is in the New Yorker, and I want to read this to you. As liberals argue over the algorithm at Facebook and ponder the disruptive influence of TikTok, radio remains a colossus. For every hour that Americans listen to podcasts in 2021, they listen to 6.5 hours of AM/FM radio. That's according to Edison Research, a market research and polling firm. Talk radio has often provided more reliable hints of the political future than think tanks and elected officials have. And why is that? Why do you believe that talk radio is so influential in picking the next presidents and the next leaders of our country? And I've got a theory about that. I'm going to share it with you after the top of the hour news break. But I'm curious, why do you listen to talk radio? Why do you listen to talk radio? 844-747-8868. Give us a call. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, now is a great time to head over to the website, sign up for our newsletter. It comes out in just over an hour from now, and you're going to want to get all the great news, information, and stories that we have for you. All right, stick around, everybody. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello. Geezaloo, put my headphones on. I was deeply engrossed in an email. So welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting from our Liberty University studios, the final broadcast week of the year, and we are going out with a bang. That's a good thing, by the way. We are so glad you are here. You know, in the last hour of the program, we were talking about radio and the power of radio in American politics and American culture. And we were looking at a new report that says for every hour of podcast listening, Americans listen to 6.5 hours of radio. And clearly talk radio has had a tremendous influence in the political culture and the world. And we want to know why. Why is it that you listen to talk radio? Why is it such a powerful medium? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. And we would like to hear from you. I want to go right now, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always great to have our friends from Young America's Foundation with us. Kara Zupkus is hanging out. Kara, hope you've had a good Christmas break.
Thank you. I hope you have as well. Looking forward to the new year.
It was a pretty good Christmas. Looking forward to the new year. It's going to be insane politics all the time, and we're going to have a blast. And I suspect you guys are always going to be busy. Kara, we invited you to come on to talk about a new post you guys have: the top nine worst politically correct offenses of 2021. And we're going to try to blast through these, Kara. So let's start with number nine.
Yes. So number nine, honestly, one of my favorites because it was just so appalling. And I'm glad that we got her story out there. The editor-in-chief of the student newspaper at Oklahoma State University was actually forced to resign by her peers on the newspaper because she wrote an op-ed that was skeptical of COVID masking and vaccine mandates and mask mandates. And then after they fired her, they issued a correction for her column saying that they do not represent the thoughts and opinions of the newspaper.
Unbelievable. All right, so that's number nine. And by the way, folks, we have a direct link to all of these on our live show blog over at toddstearns.com. Kara, number eight, Michigan School District encourages students to join BLM protests. What do they want them to do? This is a fascinating story.
Oh, my goodness. This was actually one of our newer stories that we just broke last week. This school district called Farmington Public Schools in Michigan was urging students to campaign and vote for candidates that fight racial injustice and to donate money to bail to arrest rioters that were put in jail because of the BLM riot. So this is actually trying to bail them out of jail for committing a crime. That's just mind-boggling to me that they would try and really weaponize students to do their political dirty work for them. But again, I guess nonetheless, in Michigan, this is kind of sadly to be expected.
Yeah, that's pretty sickening. Number seven, pro-life YAF activist assaulted by crazed leftist student. I remember covering this story. Insane story.
Yes, this kid actually called the cops on himself after he punched a student and the sign, stealing their pro-life sign, saying that abortion was murder. But then after he called the cops on himself, he actually took to Twitter, berating the YAF chapter, saying, oh, they're lying to the police. I didn't actually do this, which is kind of quite the turn after you kind of call the cops on yourself.
Yeah, that makes no sense at all. Number six on your list, the University at Buffalo hosts event attempting to erase Thanksgiving. So they wanted to get rid of Thanksgiving.
Yep, this is sadly something we see a lot, but they hosted this event to actually talk about what they can do to replace this, quote, whitewashed history. And once we exposed this story, the school got a lot of flack. The student who exposed it ended up on Fox News, and the school actually closed the event to the press and tried to shift blame by claiming, oh, it was just a bunch of students hosting the event, not the school, despite the fact that the school's diversity and cultural center was the one hosting the event.
So tell us what was going on at St. Mary's College, and what did they do to rank number five on your list?
Yes, so they hosted a slew of different events on campus that were really promoting the LGBT agenda, which really, in my opinion, comes into conflict with basic Catholic doctrines. They were hosting events like God is Proud of You, LGBTQ+, Catholicism, and other events called like menstrual justice, saying that men can have periods and all of these crazy things. And actually a YAF alumna alerted us to this because she's an alumna of the university and she's really sad to see her school take such a turn for wokeness.
And Kara, and by the way, folks, Kara Zupkus on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Kara, you guys get alerted to a lot of these stories through a hotline that you recently started. Tell us about that.
Yes. So any concerned member of the community, whether you're a student, parent, or an alumni, you can submit a tip to us at yaf.org/tips. That's yaf.org/tips. We'll investigate any instance of liberal bias on your campus and potentially help expose the story through our media contacts.
Okay. Number four on the list, a first grade class was reading a transgender storybook. What happened there?
Yes, so some parents were concerned that first graders were being read a book called I Am Jazz, which talks about a boy transitioning into being a girl. And once they brought their concerns to the school board president, the school board president actually ignored all their concerns. And after we did a little bit of digging, it turns out that the school board president actually is the owner of an all-ages sex toy shop. It was really grotesque, very disturbing that someone like that could be in a position of power, allowing literally any age person, even a toddler, into that sex toy shop. And the school actually ended up defending the school board president and accused us of prompting hate speech and harassment against the school.
Oh, of course they did. So no problem with the sex toy shop owner, but you guys are the problem.
Exactly. Make it make sense.
Unbelievable. All right, moving along quickly here. Number three on the list. What's number three?
Yes, so this was a public community college in California, and they instituted a new policy that required interviews for administrators to have an anti-racism question pre-screening to evaluate their dedication to, quote, anti-racism, which we all know is kind of a code word there for actual racism against white people.
Unbelievable. All right, number two.
Yes, number two really grabbed headlines across the nation. This was around the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and this was a student senator at Washington University who was caught on camera by YAF throwing away 2,977 flags from the memorial that they had set up. And the vandal was actually found guilty by WashU's administrators after an investigation, and he had to pay $500 to the college Republicans, and he lost his position as a resident assistant. But he's still in charge of the finance committee at the student government.
And that leads us to the number one worst politically correct offense of 2021. I remember this story. We talked about it on our radio program quite a bit. What is the number one worst politically correct story in America?
Yes, so this year, St. Louis University was really a repeat offender, but they took the cake with this one. They threatened to expel a conservative student for just daring to hang up some flyers off of campus promoting a Matt Walsh event. The student was threatened with expulsion or suspension following an investigation by the university. And I can actually provide an update on that we just got from the student yesterday, that he received a punishment from the university. He's not going to be expelled. However, he has to undergo a mental health assessment when he goes back to campus in the spring, and he's on disciplinary probation.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable what's happening there.
It really is. But I feel like if we didn't expose that, the school honestly really might well have expelled or suspended him. So thanks to you for helping us get the word out on that story, because I think the punishment could have been a lot even worse, honestly.
All right, Kara. Well, look, great work that you guys are doing over at YAF. And folks, I would encourage you to, you know, again, it's end of the year, looking for a place to park some money. They take all sorts of great donations, and you can do that at YAF.org. That's YAF.org. We, again, have links on our website as well. Kara, looking forward to having you back in the new year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year. Kara Zupkus, ladies and gentlemen, Young America's Foundation, and they do some really great work, and we love speaking to the students out at their events. All right. I want to go to the phones here. Roger from North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC, wants to weigh in on talk radio. Hey, Roger, thanks for holding on.
Hey, no problem, Tart. Look, it's pretty simple. First of all, talk radio is free. You there?
I'm listening intently, Roger.
Okay, good. Talk radio is free. It's available to everybody. So you don't have to be a member to listen to a podcast. Talk radio takes phone calls.
That is
so
true.
So you get more than just one guy's opinion. Because honestly, I'm a retired paratrooper. I've been around the world several times, been in combat, and I do not need Greg Jarrett or Anderson Cooper to tell me what the news is supposed to be. Just tell me what the news is and let me interpret it.
Fair enough.
I'm a smart guy. I don't need somebody else's opinion. Now, if I'm on your show, you're going to give me your opinion because it's your show. But if I tune in to Fox News or MSNBC or the Clinton News Network or whichever one I tune into, I don't need them to interpret it. Just tell me what happened.
Roger, I think that makes a lot of common sense, what you said. And I, that's one of the reasons I was drawn to talk radio as a kid in college. Rush Limbaugh had come onto the scene. And finally, there was somebody that was saying what I was thinking. And there was great camaraderie there. And even though I never got into, you know, and talked on the phone to El Rushbo, it was really fun listening to people from all over America calling in and talking about those issues.
Well, the thing is, when you have just like this, I'm nobody. You know, I'm not
Roger,
a guy with a degree. I'm just a guy that has an opinion. But you know what? People all across the country are hearing my opinion right now.
That's true. And Roger, that's and again, this is the second time somebody said this on the show today. You're not a nobody. You're a retired paratrooper. You fought for this country. You defended freedom. You defended my right to sit behind this beautiful big broadcast microphone and talk every single day. So, you know, again, this is why radio is so important and effective. It's a level playing field. You're able to come onto our program and share your thoughts, your opinions. And Roger, I'm telling you, there are thousands of people in Washington, D.C. that monitor this show, and they listen to what you guys are saying because they know that you guys have the pulse of the country. And that's why I think talk radio is so vitally important. Roger, I hate to do this, but we've got to skedaddle. Thank you for the call. Couple of lines open here, folks. 844-747-8868. Why do you listen to talk radio? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, Dennis says on the Facebook live stream, hey, Todd, talk radio connects with the community. No wires or connections needed. Well, that's a good point. Jeanette says everybody's a somebody. Good for you, Jeanette. I like that. That make a great T-shirt slogan. Everybody is somebody. Good for you. Hey, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Mark in Georgia on WDUN. All right, Mark, you want to talk about radio.
I like being able to call up on the phone and talk to anybody about anything. And if it's stupid, then the announcer can cut it down right there in front of everybody, and we get it out on our chest, so we can say whatever we need.
It's a great point. And, Mark, so far we haven't hung up on you, so you haven't said anything stupid. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and Mark, for me, it's fun. And for the radio host, you know, there are some hosts that will not take calls because they want to be able to control everything that happens during the program. But I love the idea of just, you know, opening up the phone lines. I love open line Fridays where you're just able to jump in and, you know, you never know what somebody's going to say. You don't know where they're coming from. And that's always fun. And I think it's fun for the listeners, too. Well, Mark, we appreciate you listening to us, and thanks for listening to us, especially on WDUN, our great, great affiliate there in Gainesville, Georgia. All right, let's go back to the phones. Becky, listening to us from WHKP, Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Becky, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is the before you had yesterday on that Jared Smack. Nick, whatever his name is.
Yes.
Nicole Wallace. I was on the computer this morning. Nicole Wallace of CNN was...
MSNBC. MSNBC, Becky, but they're both bad.
Yes, they are. And they want him to be challenged by the FBI and by the DOJ for insurrection. I mean, can we do anything about this? Can she be censored by one of Trump's or by Getter or by Trump's new, I think he has one, a new site where you can complain or say something. I mean, this woman should not get allowed to do that after what Trump has tolerated. Besides, Biden doesn't even know any better.
Well, Becky, this is what separates us from the left, is that Nicole Wallace is allowed to say that kind of nonsense. She's allowed to spew that kind of garbage. Now, she certainly opens herself up to a lawsuit, a civil lawsuit, because she said a lot of things were simply untrue about Jared Schmeck. But to be honest with you, Becky, I don't want to censor people like Nicole Wallace. I want the American people to see that the people at MSNBC and CNN are far leftist loons. Otherwise, you would not know that. So I'm not a big fan of censoring. And again, the reason why is if they're going to censor you, they're going to censor me one day. So I'm all about free speech, and the more of it, the better. But I hear your point that you're trying to make there. And let's see what happens with the civil lawsuit that Mr. Schmeck may file against MSDNC. Becky, thank you for the call. Ernie, hang tight. We're going to get to you. Also, Matt Schlapp from CPAC, American Conservative Union. He's coming up as well. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So now you have the identity politics of picking Kamala Harris. Why? Well, she's a woman. She's a woman of color. She comes from California. She's very left-wing. Now they have this problem of, oh my God, they've gotten to see Kamala Harris, and she's terrible. I mean, where is she on planet Mars during all of this? I mean, they don't put her out at all because she's not able to connect to the American people. So if they're going to replace Kamala Harris, they got to look to the identity politics. And I have to say, Michelle Obama fits that type of thinking. Another woman of color who's obviously got good poll numbers. It's a very interesting idea.
All right, that was Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union talking about this scuttlebutt about Michelle Obama possibly running for the White House, either as a president or vice presidential candidate. The big problem facing the Democrats, which identity politics card trumps the others? Does being a black female trump being a white gay? It's a conundrum, I tell you, a conundrum. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. You know, we had Avery Bryson on yesterday, the host of the Informative Nerd Burrito podcast. And if you love comic books and movies and things of that nature, you will love this podcast. Avery, a student at Liberty University. And we were talking about the reason why Spider-Man, the movie No Way Home, has been such a success. And the general consensus is this was the one movie that was not politically woke. So a lot of these superhero movies have gone woke these days, and people were saying, well, the great thing about Spider-Man is that it was not woke. Well, now, it may not be that way for much longer, because there have been calls to make Spider-Man gay. They want the superhero character to be gay. And now this story from the New York Post, where there are calls to make Spider-Man's aunt, Aunt May, they want Aunt May to be a lesbian. So we've got a link to this over on the website. You'll have to check. You know, everything is gay. It's America. What are you going to do? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we're very honored to have with us the great Matt Schlapp from American Conservative Union. CPAC getting ready to kick off, and I know everybody's very excited about that. Matt's also got a new book coming out, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But, Matt, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Todd, Merry Christmas to you, and God bless America.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be a fun year, I'll tell you that much, Matt, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on where things are going to go in the midterm elections. How do you think this is going to play out?
You know, I think that the this is something very weird that's happened, which is past Democratic presidents, to speak of, you know, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, they always tried to appeal to the middle. And that's how Democrats won at the nationwide level. And the only time they got punished was when they sounded and looked like socialists. And you knew that with Hillary Care, with that failed experiment, and then Obamacare, which succeeded, at least it passed, and never really succeeded. And the difference is with today's Joe Biden Democratic Party is they are not reaching to the middle on anything, on any issue. All their policies are actually hurting the people in the middle. And it's going to be our big experiment as to whether or not America actually was transformed or America is just super furious at these socialist policies. And I think the Republicans are going to slap them.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. We've been hearing from so many people all over the country, and I think we are going to see a tsunami of conservatives elected to Congress. And I think we're going to see some establishment Republicans maybe fall by the wayside in all of this.
Yeah, I do, too. Look, I think there's going to be some primary battles that are going to be very interesting to watch. I think that we're in an age where there's a lot of political change. Trump kind of started that change. And I think there's a lot more to come. I just feel like the type of person that the average voter was looking for to represent him in the Senate or the House, I think they've discarded that kind of stereotype of the Republican with the Mitt Romney hair and the perfect tie and didn't say anything that was too offensive. And I think now we actually want people who will be offensive to the left and take them on and fight. And I think that's a big shift for the Republican Party, which is usually made up of like insurance salesmen and bankers and careful businessmen. I think that model is done.
You see, I think there's a brilliant point you're raising here, because the dynamic and the demographic is changing in the GOP, and there has been a bit of back and forth pushback as they try to figure out who they're going to be, and that is, honestly, that goes back to Ronald Reagan, I think, and that big tent party philosophy that he had. This is what that actually looks like.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the idea, you know, people forget that Reagan was a transformational figure in of himself. He wasn't trying to transform America. He was trying to transform the Republican Party to be a party of small business people that included the West, that wasn't an establishment Northeastern party. And he succeeded in doing that. And then I think the Trump experiment was to try to change Washington and knock it upside the head. And even though he only got 4 years, and really only two of the 4 years where he really hit his stride, I think he made a lot of progress there. But I think most Republicans believe that that work is still unfinished, that Washington is still on a trajectory to mess with them. And the virus is a perfect example of that. But, you know, you brought up wokeness in your segment before I joined. And I think in the end, that's the issue that really seals the deal for the Republican Party, if they can continue to be the anti-woke party.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and we've got to address these big culture issues, and silencing free speech and the crackdowns on civil liberties are massive in my estimation. Man, I do want to turn to this the comment you made about Michelle Obama. Of course, Joe Rogan, and it's funny because a lot of conservatives have embraced Joe. Joe Rogan says Obama, greatest president of our lifetime. And said that Michelle Obama, if she decides to run, would beat Donald Trump. And you were asked to weigh in on that. What say you?
Well, you know, it's funny because back when Joe Biden was going through his exploratory committee on his vice president, I would tell everyone quietly that I was nervous he'd pick Michelle Obama. Now, let me be clear. I don't know Michelle Obama. I'm no fan of Michelle Obama's. I think she's actually been a voice for racial animosity across this country. She's campaigned to stoke the racial division. So I'm no fan of hers, but I have to say, I thought it would have been a better pick than Kamala Harris. And I thought it was a real good thing when they picked Kamala Harris, because I saw how she treated my friend Brett Kavanaugh. And I think she's just a nasty person. And I think the American people have come to the same judgment now. And now it seems like the Democrats, you know, maybe they're rethinking that pick. I don't know how they get rid of Kamala Harris. I mean, how do you kick her off the ticket? How do you prevent her from being the nominee? I think this is popcorn time for all of us. So I'm rather enjoying this idea of who the post-Kamala Democrat nominee should be, because I think it's all upside for us. It just shows you how they're at each other's throats.
Huge. Look, if I were a Democrat, she'd be my pick because she checks off all the boxes. And if you remember, her numbers were far greater than her husband's, who was president of the United States. So, I mean, maybe we could see a Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama ticket or something of that nature. But they've got to do something to excite the base. And right now, the only thing that they've got is Mayor Pete or, you know, Hillary and Michelle.
Well, I want to speak to that directly. You know, Mayor Pete is, you know, I went to school in South Bend, and the idea that he transformed that city is a joke. But like all things with the Democrats, you know, their media coverage has nothing to do with reality. And he's a little bit of a cult hero to people. I do think that when you see all these Hispanic numbers that have been coming out in these polls that show that Hispanics are shifting dramatically towards the Republican Party, maybe that's the wrong way to say it. They're certainly shifting away from the Democratic Party. They're shifting away from socialism because most of them fled it. They hate this war on gender because most of them believe in God and go to church. So, you know, there's a real shift going on in the country. And I just think Mayor Pete, for a lot of those box checkers that say, oh, it's all about identity politics, he seems perfect. Michelle Obama seems perfect. But I think there's a lot of new Americans and just regular old Americans who are tired of all these divisions. And they don't want to be separated on race and gender and sexual preferences and all these things that are used to divide us. I just think all of us really are exhausted of all of it. And they like to go back to the president being our commander-in-chief and making sure that our economy's chugging along, and why don't you give the rest of the stuff a rest?
It would be nice, and I think you're right. I think the country, I think everybody's tired. Everybody's exhausted. But as you said, grab the popcorn because it's going to be really fun to watch the Democrats go back and forth over all of this. Look, I want to talk about this new book coming out next month. It's called The Desecrators. Tell us what the book's about.
Next month, wow, you got me all. I got to get organized, Todd. Yeah, it's coming out right around CPAC, which is the end of February. And, of course, like you always are, we hope you will be there. We want you to play an important role, as you always do. The book is called The Desecrators, and it goes through what I think I've had an interesting perspective on what our country has gone through, where people of faith with people who love America and believe in our founding and believe that America is a source for good, not on every issue at every time, but almost always on the globe. It's just been under attack. And my co-author, Deal Hudson, said, you know, it's not really cancel culture that is the cancer that's destroying America. It's something worse. It's trying to destroy what's holy and what's good and what's truthful about our experience collectively as a country. And it was his idea that it's not a cancel, it's a desecration. And so we call it The Desecrators, and it's a book that goes through, you know, how the left is actually trying to rip this country apart. And it all starts, well, it started a long time ago, but it certainly got some real momentum when Barack Obama came to office and said, basically, let's chuck the old America because it's a racist America. We need a new one.
You know, folks, we've got a link to the, you can pre-order the book at wherever you buy your books, and we've got links to that on our live show blog. I do want to brag on you, Matt, and CPAC and ACU, because there are a lot of conservative folks out there in groups, but it's been my observation after covering you guys for many, many years that you guys really do have the pulse of the conservatives in this country. And it's been fascinating to watch the straw polls and the people that you bring and you platform, and to see those individuals becoming future leaders of the party. So I just, you know, again, thank you for what you guys are doing. I think it's so vitally important. And, you know, again, we're always excited to be a part of what y'all are doing. It's always a fun weekend, and people always leave excited and energized.
And we look brilliant by pulling out of Washington, and for another year we got canceled the year before.
Right.
But this year we pulled out voluntarily because we just figured they'd come up with another version of Corona, and they have. So it looked like we made the right decision there to go to a red state. It's never a wrong decision to go to a red state. And part of this whole idea of uncanceling ourselves and keeping America open for business is standing behind all these teachers and cops and people that are being told they have to accept CRT and they have to take a vaccine against their will, and they have to teach the 1619 Project, and they have to pretend that there are 62 genders. And ACU has started a new fund called the First Amendment Fund to
to raise money to protect the constitutional rights of all these people who are being victimized. And that's really going to be the theme of CPAC, which is, you know, America's a good place filled with millions of good people, and we're not going to let them get persecuted by these establishment bullies, these elites who don't love our country.
Love it. All right, Matt, we got to leave it there. The Desecrators, folks, go ahead and pre-order a copy right now wherever you buy your books. And, Matt, we'll get you back on next month when the book comes out, and we'll have a nice conversation about it.
Sounds great, Todd. I appreciate you having me on, and Merry Christmas.
All right, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Matt Schlapp, ladies and gentlemen. And if you haven't already signed up, register. You need to register for CPAC coming up at the end of February. That's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be broadcasting our show from CPAC, and that's always fun to meet so many of our great listeners who are out there. You never know who's going to show up, but we're going to have a blast, and I think we're even bringing Grace Baker along. I mean, you've been complaining every time I go out. How come you don't bring me?
Well, it sounds like the listeners want to know where I'm at.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far. But yeah,
me and
that's
Merlo,
true.
You know.
Okay, well, I'm not sure Merlo can come. But what,
she identifies as a person.
Does she identify as a conservative?
We can make that work.
A conservative Dalmatian.
Yes.
All right. But we are, yeah, no, we're going to have Grace Baker out there, and we're excited to be able to take the show out on the road. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Even though I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking it was 6, I will say this. I was able to get a little bit of rest thanks to my wonderful MyPillow. I love that thing. By the way, Grace Baker, we're taking orders from the staff for a MyPillow product. So, you know, ooh, that's our little gift to the staff. So I saw that some folks have already turned in there.
Oh, of course. My pillow's great. I mean, Merlo's already got her doggy bed. So
I've heard great things about the doggy bed.
Mm-hmm.
I have. My pillow, folks. You're not going to be able to buy them in the big box stores, and there's a reason why. They've been kicked out by the cancel culture mob. Poor little Merlo going down to Bed Bath and Beyond and can't find the little doggy bed and whimpering there.
Yeah, the whimper's very sad. Sounds like a cat.
I'm sorry. What do I know? I'm sorry. I don't have pets. So my I pretty much botched this commercial read.
Yeah, Todd. I'm just going to get a recording of Marla going, arr!
Oh, thank you. Well, that sounds like a siren.
It sounds like a siren.
Oh, my word. So
we say she's calling to her people.
Police?
Firefighters.
Oh, firefighters. Oh, thank you. The Dalmatian. All right. We're just, you know, I thought we were like at the 88th percentile, you know, of having a great show, and then we hit this last segment.
Yeah, you almost made it there.
Almost made it.
Maybe just
almost
take a breath. A mental health break.
It is what it is.
Reset.
It is what it is. All right. You know, tomorrow, Grace, we're going to be talking about New Year's resolutions.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be fun. We're going to have a fun show tomorrow.
I got to think about mine.
All right, I got to finish this commercial. So MyPillow, lots of great, great specials. And again, you're not going to be able to find any of this in the stores. But thankfully, Mike has created a special page just for our listeners, MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my promo code and you're going to get some incredible discounts. Let me give you an example. That classic standard MyPillow, I've got four of them. I like a lot of pillows when I sleep. Normally $69.98. You're going to be able to get these pillows $19.98 with my promo code. You can also purchase slippers, the robes, the doggy beds, over 150 products Mike has, and all of them on sale, and you're going to get some great discounts. But you have to go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and use my promo code Starnes if you want those incredible discounts. Otherwise, you're going to pay full price. You can also give them a call, 800-544-8939. That's 800-544-8939. Look, tomorrow, the last show of the year, and we're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow and looking forward to hearing from you. We're going to be taking your calls. We're going to call it Open Line Thursday because we're giving the staff off on Friday. So Open Line Thursday tomorrow. In the meantime, head over to the website, sign up for that podcast and the newsletter, both free of charge, our gift to you over at ToddStearns.com. Be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.